Scott Petrak joins us from the Chronicle Telegram, brownzone.com, to talk about things. So here we are, Scott. Before we get into sort of the bi-week review and what to look forward to, what is the details related to Baker Mayfield and this COVID-19 restriction that he's on?
Yeah, he had to be placed on the COVID-19 reserve list, which obviously is new this season, because he was determined to be a close contact of a staff member of the team who tested positive Saturday morning. It's not a coach. The Browns aren't identifying the staff member, but it's not a coach. And the hope is, you know, Baker has not tested positive to this point, and the players test every day, even during the bye week. So the hope is for the Browns that he continues to test negative, and Wednesday he'll be allowed back in the building. But it's too early to tell for sure if he'll be, in fact, back Wednesday. He just needs more negative tests. And, you know, it's an isolation thing when you are determined to be a close contact with somebody who does test positive.
So have the Browns been through this before with other players in this, or is it?
No. Okay. Yeah, the Browns had done, and not that this means they haven't done a good job, but they had avoided pretty much anything to do with the virus since when players started to report in late July. They had three or four, maybe a handful of guys test positive right when they showed up for training camp. And since then, you know, they had the one experience where there were a bunch of false positives, and they didn't shut down practice. They had a really limited practice, but even Coach Kevin Stefanski wasn't there. But then they were deemed all to be false positives. And it turned out to be a lab issue because there were a bunch across the league. Since then, the Browns have not had anyone test positive. So this is the first time they're going through this. And it also triggers the NFL. From the NFL, you have to go and do their intensive protocol, which means you can still practice, but all meetings must be virtual. So the Browns return to the practice field today, but the meetings will be remote. All the players on the field during practice must wear masks or face shields. Everybody has to wear gloves on the field except the quarterback on a throwing hand. You have to limit the number of people in the weight room. Just a bunch of protocols to prevent, you know, close contacts, and then to prevent the spread if, in fact, the virus is in the building. You also have to deep clean your building every day. And the players, not only do they do the normal PCR test, they also do a point of contact test every day, too, when you're in the intensive protocols.
I don't know if you can answer. How does this impact how they actually can practice or get things done? In other words, how much of a distraction or does this get in the way of actually just doing things that benefit the game?
Well, from a meeting standpoint, they're used to this, right? Because there's no in-person off-season program. So they're used to meeting virtually. In fact, you know, a bunch of teams have been affected by this in recent weeks. So Kevin Stefanski, in fact, went to more virtual meetings either a week or two ago. So I don't think that's a huge deal. Obviously, you'd rather meet in person if you can, but I don't think the remote meetings is that big a deal. Now, practice, you know, I don't think wearing masks is probably not ideal to try to practice. And so I'm sure there'll be hope to be out of the intensive protocols as soon as possible. And I don't know exactly how long those will last, if it's an entire week or only, you know, maybe until the 5 days where nobody hopefully would test positive besides that one staff member. But I don't think it's, you know, I don't think it's that huge a deal. And I think we've seen other teams in the league have to go through it, and then they wind up and go ahead and play Sunday, right? We've seen teams miss guys. We've seen teams play with players on the COVID-19 list, and they have no choice but to play without some of their better players. So I don't think it's a huge deal. It's kind of more of an annoyance, I would say, right now.
Right. Well, I mean, anything that's sort of a disruption to a routine, though, I think for any athlete kind of gets in their head maybe in some sort. But let's
talk. Yeah, but I just think this year is different. Yeah. You know, I mean, I think they're kind of used to the disruption of routine this year.
Right. No routine is the routine, I guess, every week. Okay, we had a bye week, so that kind of disrupted our routine as a fan of the team. Let's look back a little bit and then look forward to this. So we're kind of the midway point. Just happens to be where our bye week was, and it kind of worked out that way related to that. What do we see from our last, you know, eight games that we look forward to the next day?
Yeah, I think there's plenty of good to take away. You start with the 5-3 record, which sets the Browns up for a playoff chase, right? They're right in the thick of it. You know, Indianapolis, Baltimore, Miami, Las Vegas. I think those are the teams the Browns will be competing for three wild card spots with. 5-3 gets them about halfway home, because I think 10 wins guarantees a playoff spot. So they've got to figure out a way to get five more wins. I think the schedule sets up well. They have one of the league's easiest schedules for the second half of the season. So that benefits the Browns. I think you saw an inconsistent Baker Mayfield, who played better in the last two games before the bye. I think it'll be extremely important for him to continue to play like that if this team is going to make the playoffs. He's going to have to play well, especially without Odell Beckham Jr. I think that puts more pressure on Mayfield without having a superstar playmaker to bail him out. You know, you saw a bad defense. It's going to need to get better, because I don't think the Browns, even with the schedule they have, I think it'll be really difficult for this team to win enough games to get to the playoffs if the defense is as bad as it was in the first eight games. And that showed up especially on third and fourth down. I think they gave up, it's real close to 50% conversions on third down. And then they allowed 13 of 14 fourth downs to be converted. So they're just not getting off the field, and you can't win like that. And it puts too much pressure on the offense. It puts too much pressure on your defense to get takeaways. So I think you need to see Baker Mayfield continue to get better, and then you need the defense to somehow figure out a way to get some more stops. And they're getting a little healthier, so that should help, but it's going to take more than that. I don't know if it's going to take tweaks to the scheme, maybe tweaks to the lineup, but they have to do something, because I don't think it's sustainable to win giving up 30 points a game.
Scott, is there a player on defense that maybe you expected more of than the production we've seen?
You know what? That's a good question. I would go with probably the pair of defensive ends that are opposite Myles Garrett. Olivier Vernon is the starter. Then they signed Adrian Claiborne in free agency to be that third end. And on pass rushing downs, all three of them are on the field, Garrett, Vernon, and Claiborne. And to be fair, Vernon and Claiborne dealt with injuries in the first eight games. And when we talked to GM Andrew Berry last week, he said, hey, I think both these guys are going to be healthy in the second half, and I think that's going to make an impact. Because the offenses can put too much attention on Myles Garrett, and it limits what he can do. I know he's had a great first half, but they're double and triple teaming him because they don't fear the guys on the other side. So the guys on the other side have to make the other team pay. And that means Olivier Vernon and Adrian Claiborne. And Vernon showed something right before the bye. He had two sacks in the first half against the Raiders, and it was his first two sacks of the year. So that's what I'm looking for, is for those defensive ends to make a bigger difference. Because, you know, when you get the third and long, the other teams are converting it. Well, they don't if you get the pass rush you need. So, to me, those two guys have been a disappointment. And then I don't think we can talk without saying veteran free safety Andrew Sandejo. I didn't expect a whole lot from him, but he was forced into the starting lineup because Grant Delpit, the rookie, was lost for the season with a torn Achilles. And Sandejo has just been bad. And he plays, to me, he plays out of control. I think he's been out of position sometimes. He misses tackles. And the coaches like things about him. They like his communication. They like, you know, his leadership and his intelligence. But to me, it just hasn't translated to performance, and I think they need to give somebody else a look there.
What are we expecting now as we get prepared for the Texans?
Yeah, you know, the Texans won yesterday. I haven't been able to watch the game yet. They beat Jacksonville, and Jacksonville's a bad team, and I think they're playing the backup quarterback. You know, so Houston's only, I think they're 2-6 or 2-7. They already fired the coach. They have old friend of ours, Romeo Crennel, as the interim coach. But they're scary because they've been a good team in the past. I mean, recently, they've been to the playoffs a bunch. And they have Deshaun Watson, a quarterback, and he's playing really well. And if the Browns defense plays like it did in the first eight games, Houston's going to score 30 points. So it's going to have, you know, you would assume they're going to have to win a shootout, and it's hard to count on that. So despite the record, you know, I think the Browns are 2.5 or 3-point favorites. So the odds makers expect a close game. And to me, coming out of the bye, you're supposed to be rested. You're supposed to be refocused. The Browns have to play like that, and I do not take this as a given win at all, because I think Houston has a great quarterback and has some dangerous receivers around him.
And we're not sure who our quarterback's going to be as we started the conversation here as well. So
yeah, I mean, that's a great point. You know, I mean, I'm assuming it's going to be Baker Mayfield, but you're right. He could test positive any day this week, and that throws everything up for grabs, and it really changes the Browns' dynamic, and they'd have to go with, you know, the veteran backup, Case Keenum. So you're right. I mean, that's obviously the first thing we're going to be watching all week, especially starting Wednesday, because I'm not sure the team would reveal if Baker Mayfield failed the test, because they're not supposed to do that, and he would just remain on that list. So we might be waiting till Wednesday to see if Baker, in fact, returns to practice.
All right. Scott Petrick of the Chronicle-Telegram, BrownZone.com, joining us this morning as he does every Monday. We appreciate your time, Scott. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, guys.